Blog Talk Radio. Today's date is November. Damn it. Okay. Today's date is November 2nd, before I was so rudely interrupted by my own theme music. November 2nd, already. Fast approaching Christmas. Well, Thanksgiving, then Christmas. And with that, we will have our assault on Christianity. There will be a continued effort to diminish Christmas, Christianity, Catholicism, all of that. Anything having to do with Jesus the Bible, Christ, God. All of these are symbols, demonic symbols, if you will, for the liberal left. There's an old saying, we'll get to that. Liberals want us not to believe in God, in Christianity. Because if we believe in Christianity, in God, in Jesus, then they have no power over us. The president is finding that out, which is why he has now turned to God, finally, to get his stimulus package out there. He has said that God wants us to approve his stimulus package. Yeah, you heard me right. God, Lord Almighty, God. Now, take a listen to this clip of the hypocrite in chief. And we've reported many times, so has Fox News and other organizations, how the President of the United States has continually avoided references to Christianity and God. I recall a story, a factual event that occurred at my alma mater, Georgetown University, where Barack Hussein Obama gave a speech in our hall, and he demanded, or his team demanded, that all symbols of Christianity, all symbols of religion, be removed or covered up. And my alma mater, to my disdain, acquiesced and covered up all symbols, all religious symbols. Mind you, Georgetown University is a religious school. So it took some doing to box up and cover up and drape over all the religious symbols. Barack demanded, his team demanded, that there be no religious symbols in Georgetown University, that there be none. That's a fact. He avoided many times using references to the Lord, our Creator, in quite a few speeches. We're endowed by, pregnant pause, with certain unalienable rights. He let that part in the teleprompter slip by and avoided using "we're endowed by our Creator." One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Another example of when the president failed to or avoided mentioning God at all. Now, he writes, or he says, "I trust in God," said President Obama. "But God wants us to help ourselves and put people back to work." How desperate is that? Finally, the President of the United States is forced to turn to God. And recently, there was a reaffirmation that "In God We Trust" would stay as a national symbol in this country. And ironically, surprisingly enough, Obama supported that. Could it be that the president is so far down in the polls that his liberal base is running away from him in droves? Could it be that because independents are abandoning ship like rats on a sinking wooden frigate, that Obama has nothing left but to turn to God, finally. I find this to be completely and utterly amazing. Now, November 1st, the House of Representatives passed a bipartisan resolution. It was Tuesday night, reaffirming "In God We Trust" as the official motto of the United States. The 396-9 vote came at the request of Representative Randy Forbes, Republican, the great state of Virginia. And he did so in part over President Obama's refusal to correct remarks he made that misstated the motto as "E Pluribus Unum," instead of "In God We Trust." This president is like the Antichrist. He cannot, unless he is absolutely forced to, he will not utter the word God. He will not use the term creator. He will not use the word Lord. He will certainly not use the word Jesus. This man avoids any reference whatsoever to God, so it is surprising that over the last couple of days, President Obama has found religion. No, not the Muslim faith, but he has found the Lord. He has found God. President Barack Hussein Obama has given his seal of approval, has given his support to Congress to reinstitute, to referendum, to form a referendum to cement the term "In God We Trust." I think the timing is interesting for a man who avoided using the word God so many times, avoided using the Lord, went visited my alma mater, Georgetown University, and demanded that all religious symbols be covered up or removed just before he was to give a speech. And they were. And Georgetown has not seen a check from me since that time. And I voiced my concerns and my outrage to the board shortly thereafter. Now, let's highlight the lawmakers who voted against "In God We Trust." Some of the names you'll say, of course. Let's start with Representative Jared Nadler, of course, a Democrat from New York. Next is Representative Gary Ackerman, Democrat, New York. The next on the list is Representative Justin Amash, Republican, Michigan. Oh yeah. Let's keep an eye on the Republican from Michigan. See how he does in the next election. Let's keep an eye on him. We'll write his name down and see what's going on 2012 when he comes up for re-election. Representative Judy Chow, Democrat, California. And of course, Representative Emil Cleaver, Democrat, Missouri. Black folks are supposed to be the most God-fearing people on the face of the earth. Apparently not. I'll bet Mr. Cleaver's mama is sad about this. And if she's no longer alive, I'll bet the old lady's rolling over in her grave. Representative Mike Honda, Democrat, California. Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat, Georgia. Representative Bobby Scott, Democrat, Virginia. and Representative Pete Stark, of course, California. He voted present, where Representative Keith Ellison and Representative Melvin Watt, all those three voted present. They didn't want to take a stand one way or the other, trying to cover their butts. Did we really need a bipartisan resolution not only to affirm "In God We Trust" as our national motto? No. But what it does is it encourages its display in public buildings and government institutions. There's been no motto in U.S. history that's been more inspirational than "In God We Trust." That's a fact. Now, the vote was immediately condemned by the American Humanist Association, who said it ignored non-believers. No, it did not ignore non-believers. You see, we're going to get right down to it. We're going to get into this whole idea of the separation of church and state. They say, the American Humanist Association says that this, and I quote, "This is an open attack on Thomas Jefferson's wall of church and state separation," Executive Director Ron Speakhart said in a written statement. "To place such religious language on public buildings is not only unconstitutional, it signals to the millions of non-religious Americans that they are second-class citizens." Really? Wow. Is that what it signals? Well, we'll get into that. Let's hold on to that. Forbes said the motto had been under attack over the past 3 years, noting a disturbing trend of inaccuracies and omissions, misunderstandings of church and state, rogue court challenges, and efforts to remove God from the public domain by unelected bureaucrats. There's a very small number of people who are part of this group, but unfortunately, very vocal people who really want to attack faith in every element of the nation. Why are they afraid? What are they afraid of? Now, Forbes said that he was especially disturbed by an incident involving President Obama. Last November, during a speech he delivered in Jakarta, the president said that the national motto was "E Pluribus Unum." Now, is the president a moron who doesn't know the national motto, or was he attempting once again to sidestep God himself, Jesus Christ, religion everywhere, or the Christian faith? "Not only did the president refuse to respond to our letter," said Forbes, "but still on the White House website, they have up the incorrect national motto." Forbes told Fox News, "It does concern us." Yes, and it should concern all of us. Forbes also pointed out what he called inaccuracies and omissions in the new Capitol Visitor Center. He accused historians of sanitizing the public building of a reference to our national motto, including replacing the inscription of "In God We Trust" inscribed above the speaker's rotorium with stars in a replica of the House chamber, and cropping an actual picture of the chamber so you could not see the words "In God We Trust." The omissions were later corrected after Congress intervened. Speakhart called on the Senate to reject the resolution, calling it harmful. Why is it harmful for anyone to practice religious faith? Why is it harmful for Americans, for America, to have religious symbols, be they Christian or otherwise? Why is it harmful? We're going to talk about it. We're going to get deep and down. We're going to get deep down into it, and we've done this before. Now, a clear message was sent by those who voted for this resolution passage that secular Americans do not deserve to be considered eligible for our Constitution, our Constitution's equal protection guarantees, Eckhart said. Such protections are seriously eroded whenever the bulwark between church and state is breached. Where do we begin? Well, I think where we should begin is at the beginning. The phrase separation of church and state is often mentioned with reference as a foundational American principle. That's it. It's a foundational American principle. It seems odd. It is odd that so many consider the church's influence in public life to be a threat. Is it? Jefferson's actions as president. Jefferson's assured the Baptists that the federal government, Congress, had no jurisdiction over the affairs of religion, which was left to the individual states, almost all of which had a state-sponsored Christian denomination. At the time, Americans were quite familiar with the nationally established religion, with what a national established religion was, and they were opposed to it. An established religion was a Christian denomination that was financed by the national government and had privileges not available to other denominations. So Jefferson dealt with that matter. And we're going to get right into it. The preamble to the Declaration of Independence begins, "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation." Note the phrase, the laws of nature. The laws of nature and of nature's God. The framers inserted a reference to God in the first sentence of the Declaration. If that alone were the only reference to God, it would prove America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But there's more. The Declaration continues, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." In the second sentence of the Declaration, the framers state that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. With that section of the second sentence, the framers affirm their faith in God by their use of the term. But that doesn't really answer the question, does it? Why are liberals afraid of God, of Christianity in specific? Why? The founders' use of God is everywhere in the Constitution, everywhere. Many things that were part of the founding of our nation, of our country, revolved around God. Many liberals now can't stand to even say the word God, let alone acknowledge that God exists, even though many of them say they are Christians. What would they say about their definition of what a Christian is? Being a Christian means that you believe in the Word of God, have given your life to bring glory to God, repented of your sins, have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and strive every day to be more like Christ. Wanting to be nice to other people does not make you a Christian. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Taking from others to give to people you think should have more does not make you a Christian. Liberals have not been given the authority to decide who has too much and who should get some of what others have. Now, Minnesota Democrat Congresswoman Betty McCollum was asked to lead the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. She would not say the phrase under God. She simply stopped speaking. This is just like the people who changed the words of the Bible to fit what they wanted to say. You can't change the words of important documents or the words of the Bible just because you don't like part of what the words were written, and for what reason. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip of this outrageous act by Congresswoman, Minnesota Democrat Congresswoman Betty McCollum.
The pledge will be led by the gentlewoman from Minnesota, Ms. McCollum.
If members and guests would please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
She simply stopped speaking. She didn't say it. Why? Could it be that after 9/11, certain Americans decided that they were going to be more sensitive to other religious faiths, that maybe they believed that we were attacked as a nation because of our intolerance to other religions? So they're going to bend over backwards, or so I assume, to disavow God, disavow our Christian values. Now, on to the man I detest most in this charade, the President of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, in three separate speeches. Just this past October, October of last year, was of course using a teleprompter, so he didn't forget. Just left out a phrase while quoting the Declaration of Independence. He said, "All men are endowed with certain unalienable rights." He left out the part about by their Creator. These words were not haphazardly put into the founding documents. They are. They are there for a reason. And the Founding Fathers felt that without the help of God, we could not have the country that they were trying to create. George Washington said, and I quote, "It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible," end quote. Let's take a listen to the man who finally found God once. He's being abandoned by independents, Democrats, and and even the rats are jumping ship in the White House. They're leaving the White House now. Let's take a listen to the man who finally found religion after so many times denying God. Remember the phrase, "You will deny me three times"? Yeah.
During a speech to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute, our president quoted word for word from the Declaration of Independence, but omitted the phrase, "by their creator." Some say it wasn't intentional, but it's hard to argue that now that he's done it repeatedly. The second time was at a New York City fundraiser. The third, during a speech to Democratic Senate donors in Maryland. Who gives us our rights? God or government? Your vote will decide. Don't vote, don't complain.
No doubt, you're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Barack Obama, just last year alone, denied the Lord three times. In 1 month, he denied the existence of a higher power, of God, three times. But yesterday, he said, "I trust in God." But, and I quote, "but God wants to see us help ourselves and put people back to work," end quote. President Obama, you moron, it's not about you. You're using the word God to suit your purpose right now. And you should be ashamed of yourself. And I know you're listening. You should be ashamed of yourself, you petty little big-haired skinny little man. All of a sudden, you found religion. You found God. All of a sudden. Yeah, I don't think so. God wants us.
Big, small.
The space-saving, eco-friendly, totally unique Smart. Un-big. Un-car.
You have legislation reaffirming that "In God We Trust" is our motto? That's not putting people back to work. I trust in God, but God wants to see us help ourselves by putting people back to work. There's work to be done. There are workers ready to do it. The American people are behind this. Democrats, Republicans, Independents believe in this. These are ideas that have been supported by all those groups in the past. There's no reason not to do it this time. I want you to make sure your voice is heard in the halls of Congress. I want us to put people back to work, get this economy growing again, and remind the entire world just why it is that America is the greatest country on earth. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Wow. So, I just got something here. He used "God bless you" and "God bless the United States of America" only after agreeing begrudgingly, or so it would seem, to reaffirm Congress's vote on "In God We Trust." It seemed to me like he had a problem with it, that he would rather the Congress be working on other things other than "In God We Trust." It seemed to me like he was having a bit of a problem with it. Didn't it seem that way to you? He was having a little bit of a, he was having some issues with it. I didn't pick up on that until just now. Well, the President of the United States complaining about God, that the God wants us to help ourselves, that God wants us to put people back to work. Finally using the phrase God after all this time. God bless you, and God bless the United States, he said. Sound almost mocking. Is it me? Is it me? Or could it be that the President of the United States has not turned over a new leaf? Could it be that the President of the United States has not found religion, but is once again mocking religion? Mocking Christianity by saying, hey, Congress took their precious time voting on In God We Trust, and they could have been voting on his bill, but they decided not to. They took time out to vote this when they should have voted that, and God really doesn't want us sitting around voting on reaffirming the model In God We Trust, but God wants us to vote on putting people back to work. I hold once again that it is not the president's job, nor is it government's job to put anybody to work. That's why we have a free market system and a capitalist system. It is only, in my begrudging opinion, that the government should foster an atmosphere where business, where the private sector can do its business, where the private sector can grow, which would mean decreasing regulations, needless, meddlesome and needless regulations, burdensome regulations on private businesses. But the Obama administration is going the other way. Then he's complaining and saying that God, he actually used the word God, wants us to put people to work. Now, Obama's campaign to remove God from his new America is well known. And it is facing not only challenges here in the United States, but internationally. Recently, the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, after a 2-year study, determined the following via the Washington Post. American foreign policy is handicapped by a God gap, a narrow, ill-informed, and uncompromising Western secularism that feeds religious extremism, threatens traditional cultures, and fails to engage and encourage religious groups that promote peace, human rights, and the general welfare of their communities. Now, here's the President of the United States attending a black church on the south side of Chicago, where there's nothing but black folks. You can't throw a stick and not hit a black person on the south side of Chicago. Black people are supposed to be, or reported to be, some of the most God-fearing people on the planet. Religious, Christian, Baptist, God, it's all the same. How is it that he gets away with this and the black community does not stand up to this? And worse, Obama mocks the Bible. He's mocked the Bible and mocked God, and then pronounced, just after taking rule of this country, that we are no longer a Christian nation. We're no longer just a Christian nation, he said, to be factual. We are no longer a Christian nation.
The increasing diversity of America's population, the dangers of sectarianism are greater than ever. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. And even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would it be James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's? Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application? So before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now. Folks haven't been reading their Bible. Which brings me to my second point. Democracy demands that the religiously motivated translate their concerns into universal rather than religion-specific values. What do I mean by this? It requires...
All right, let's hold on a minute. This reminds me of Tim LaHaye's book series where a one world, it's called the Left Behind series, where the deity, Barack Hussein Obama, or Nikolai Carpathia, becomes the ruler of the world through the United Nations and decides that all religion, Christianity, should be abolished and that there be a one world religion, a one world faith. The books are called the Left Behind series by Jerry B. Jenkins and Tim LaHaye. A one world religion. Is that what Obama's talking about here? Let's continue.
That their proposals be subject to argument and amenable to reason. Now, I may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons, to take one example, but if I seek to pass a law banning the practice, I can't simply point to the teachings of my church or invoke God's will. I have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths, including those with no faith at all. Now, this is going to be difficult for some who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, as many evangelicals do. But in a pluralistic society, we have no choice. Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality. It involves compromise, the art of what's possible. And at some fundamental level, religion doesn't allow for compromise. It's the art of the impossible. If God's spoken, then followers are expected to live up to God's edicts, regardless of the consequences. Now, to base one's own life on such uncompromising commitments may be sublime, but to base our policy making on such commitments would be a dangerous thing. And if you doubt that, let me just give you...
All right, let's hold it right there. It sounds to me that the President of the United States is suggesting that the use of the word God or Christianity or anything referencing a higher power should be removed from anything having to do with government. Am I reading too much into what he's saying right now? What he's saying right now is that the government should be God neutral, religion neutral. But we know that was not what the Founding Fathers intended. We know that the Founding Fathers included the word God. and in God we, and not in God we trust, but God, our Creator, in the founding documents. So obviously it was their intention that it be included. Let's continue.
An example, we all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's ordered by God to offer up his only son. Without argument, he takes Isaac up to the mountaintop, he binds them to the altar, raises his knife, prepares to act as God commanded. Now, we know things worked out. You know, God sends down angel to intercede at the very last minute. Abraham passes God's test of devotion. But it's fair to say that if any of us...
Okay, that's the end of the clip. So I suggest that the President of the United States is applying biblical passages to current world situations by suggesting that the Bible is somehow radical. It is a radical book or series of books that do not apply to our daily lives today. That's what I get from this whole thing. It is suggesting to me that, and I don't know, am I wrong? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Does it not suggest to you, I put to you, that the president is suggesting that the Bible is an outdated old book written by some nut jobs who, if they were alive today, would probably be in prison or on death row? Because I can't, I mean, I'm a reasonably intelligent guy and mostly lucid and somewhat rational. And in this case, that's all I'm hearing. So, but now all of a sudden, as his poll numbers are dropping, obviously he's not going to get his stimulus bill passed. And he's being abandoned in droves by independents, Democrats, and anybody else who has anything to do with him. The only person he'll probably have left, you know, by next November is his wife and his two kids. And that damn dog, if you can call it a dog. So in times like these, Barack Hussein Obama himself, once considered to be a deity, perhaps a deity in waiting, who was likened to Abraham Lincoln, FDR, and the Lord himself in many circles, now finds himself on bended knee, praying to the heavens, praying to the Lord he mocked only in this video just a year ago, praying to a God whose name he would not even utter, praying to a God who he demanded just 2 years ago that all symbols and references of be covered up at my alma mater, Georgetown University. Now he finds religion. Reminds me of a guy who's in jail, and I've known a few, who all of a sudden, they're bad men on the street. Oh, they're bad men. They're drug dealers. They're rapists. They're robbers. I don't know them all personally, but you get my point. They go to jail, but all of a sudden, they find the Lord. I found the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm saved, and all my sins will be washed away. Oh, yeah, they were tough guys on the street. But in the pokey, they have their Bible, and they have their little circles. Oh, yeah, I have spent a little time in the jail myself, but only as a volunteer. And I have seen, well, of course, that was that time I was, you know, picked up for driving without a license, you know, two or three times. And oh, and there was that time I was driving with expired tags that were like a year and a half expired. In Florida, apparently that's an arrestable offense. But nevertheless, it's not about me. It's about being in trouble and then finding religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Yeah. So now our once deity in chief, Superman, not of this world, is now using the word God. May God bless you. And may God bless America. You heard it. You heard it here. So his faith has been renewed. He's now turning to God to get his stimulus package passed. He's turning to God to get his bills passed. How embarrassing it must be to once have been considered to be godlike and now turning to God to get his stimulus package passed in order to put people to work. He is now calling on the Lord to help him to get his stimulus package passed. You know, God gives us laws and rules to live by, many of which liberals like Obama simply do not like. God's laws were not suggestions. They are the words of God. Many of God's laws do not fit into the liberal agenda. So they have to take God out of the mix to be able to alter the words of the founding fathers and God so that they can make up their own rules. So that once God has been removed from the equation, you have that fatted calf, that idol, the idol worshipers. Remember those folks? Thou shalt have no other God before me. But when God is removed, cast aside, mocked, made fun of, marginalized by the president himself. Well, once God and faith in God has been lost, where does one put one's faith? Well, there's a hole there. There's a spot open. And that spot is reserved. That spot goes to the state, the government. The government now has a spot open, and they will take the place of God in your lives. They will feed you. They will clothe you. They will comfort you with their rod and their staff. They will shepherd you like so many sheep. They will take care of your every need. The food you eat, the water you drink, the house you live in. Because God has been mocked and made fun of. The President of the United States, you heard him mocking the Bible, mocking God. God shall not be mocked. And quite frankly, what pisses me off about all of this is that Black folks, so-called African Americans, are kissing both sides of Obama's ass. To my mind, in my 49 years on this planet, Black folks, the most religious people on earth. That's just my opinion. Most God-fearing. how they stand before this idiot to mock God, to mock the Bible, and say nothing is appalling to me. It suggests to me that perhaps the plan is working. Perhaps black folks have lost faith in God. Or maybe they're, like some folks say, the white man's God. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. He's not our God. Our God is the God Allah. Our Allah. That, because we came from Africa, Allah was our true religion. When we got here to America, Christianity was forced on us. So we don't believe in God. We believe in Allah. We don't believe in Christianity. We believe in the Muslim faith because that's where we came from originally. So maybe that's what's happening here. Is that why black folks are kissing both cheeks? Why Obama need only bend over and drop trowel so that black folks can kiss his natural ass? Because I tell you what, there was a time when if Barack Obama or any black man mocked the Bible, mocked God, he would not have lasted on that podium very long. He would have been shouted down. Eggs would have been flying, fruit, tomatoes, what have you, chairs. There was a time when Barack Obama could not have gotten away with mocking the Bible to a mostly black audience. Times have changed. Black folks no longer look to God, apparently. They no longer believe that Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins, apparently. That's outdated, too. It no longer applies. I wonder what Barack would have to say about that. The Bible mocked. God mocked. Passages of the Bible mocked. To a group of black folks, no less. The Bible no longer applies. God no longer applies to the Constitution of the United States. It's all just so passé. It's so old school. Oh, come now. God? Oh, that's old hat. Oh, so it would seem. But I have a feeling that the tables are about to turn because God don't like ugly, as my mama used to say, and the Lord will not be mocked. And perhaps God will see fit to rid us of Barack Hussein Obama next November and send his non-religious ass back to Chicago or Kenya or Hawaii or wherever the hell he's from. Goodbye, Mr. Obama. November 2012. May the Lord send Obama home. Not that home. Chicago will do. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's been a great pleasure. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Good night, folks. And once again, God bless you.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan. close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation, for his hands are so cold. You gotta help me keep the devil way down.